The following program contains language of a frank and explicit nature. Viewer discretion is advised.
Shit, if this gonna be that kind of party, I'm gonna stick my dick in the mashed potato.
Episode 66 of Radio Suju. Welcome back to the show. Alicia and Zach are with you this week. And I guess we should start out by mentioning that, yes, we were not here last week. We apologize. Well, I apologize. It was my fault that we weren't here. It wasn't Alicia's fault. Although she was a little under the weather. She was more than willing to sally forth with the show. I just had some stuff going on and was a little bit scatterbrained and just wasn't in the position to do it. The show, before we get into everything, the show's going to be a little bit schizophrenic for the next few weeks. Like, we'll probably be back next week, and I think we'll be back the week after that. I don't see why not. But then we're going to take probably at least a two-week break, because I'm getting married and going on my honeymoon, and therefore, obviously, I'm not going to be recording a podcast during that process.
You absolutely have to record a podcast.
You must record a podcast from a boat in the middle of nowhere.
Absolutely.
So, if everything goes well, 13th of November, we should be back for a couple weeks, and then there'll be a short break for Thanksgiving. It's just going to be a little bit kind of bounce back and forth through the holidays, but we will be around.
The holidays. That's how it goes.
I know. But we'll be around doing shows periodically, keeping up, and just follow us on Twitter or Facebook, and you can keep updated with what's going on. But that just kind of gives you an idea of where the show's going to be. So if there's not a show, that's why. There's reasons behind it.
Because you have a life, that's definitely not acceptable.
Yeah, you know, between working multiple jobs and getting married and everything else, and like, gosh, you know, life, what a bitch. How dare it get in the way?
It's terrible.
Doing this preciously important podcast. Nice cough.
I know. I sound and much better than I have been. So.
Well, that's good.
You know, it could be worse.
We're also like, we're recording like when there's daylight out still.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. I was like, oh my God, like I have to record so early. It's a little weird.
And it was busy MLS night. We both have games we have to deal with. You for Dynamo Theory. I have stuff to do for Sounder at Heart. So good times had for all in the excitement of MLS, which actually we have a little bit of MLS to talk about later. We've got lots of little random stories we're going to touch on. Of course, we've got this week in football history headlines coming up here in a minute. We're going to talk about what's in Aries' pants. we got an update on that football match at Buckingham Palace we talked about, including some fun little notes. Jose's magic nose, and we're going to have an Ask Alicia segment where we're going to talk about the U.S. national team. So,
yay!
All sorts of exciting stuff. But we begin, as always, with headlines this week in the world of football, and we'll hand it off to our intrepid healing reporter. Off crutches, not sick. She might actually be healthy on one of these shows in the next few weeks. Maybe someday. Take it
off
away.
Off to the Ukraine. The national team has been ordered to play its Friday World Cup qualifying game against Poland behind closed doors.
Against Poland?
Poland. I don't know where that is, but...
Oh, well.
Over there somewhere.
It's another show.
They have to play their match behind closed doors due to racist behavior of fans at a previous match. During a September 9th match, fans reportedly had a neo-Nazi sign, were making Nazi salutes, and were also making monkey noises and gestures.
Boy, the trifecta. Nazi signage, Nazi salutes, and monkey noises. They like covered all their bases to make sure that they got authorities' attention. I mean, if you're going to do it, I guess you might as well go full out. And they definitely went
go
full
all
out.
The way.
Yeah, I mean, just completely sell out your humanity and your decency as a person and just completely go Nazi racist.
The thing I think that sucks about this is the way it reads to me that I don't think Poland can have fans either.
Yeah, when they do closed door matches,
because it's closed door, so nobody can. And I think that kind of sucks as far as Poland and their fans go. I think that's kind of shitty.
That's the messed up thing about
teams.
That's the messed up thing
punished.
About closed door matches. And I get why they do it, because essentially you're punishing the home team and making them lose revenue for not being able to have people buy tickets and concessions and everything else that goes along with opening up a stadium. But you're right, there's a victim, and that's the other team. They lose what fan support they might have had. They lose that atmosphere they're forced to play. And now, granted, I don't know how many Poland fans are going to travel to the UK for this game. It's hard to say. Poland, I think, is in pretty rough shape in qualifying. But, you know, there is, I think, even more so in, like, league matches, too, where this happens. It's, I get why they do it, but it does seem a little harsh sometimes. Unless somebody travels, then I guess it doesn't matter. But
Ukraine fans obviously deserve it. But then, there's still fans there that I'm sure weren't doing these things.
Well, yeah,
so
you can't single it out though. You can't say, well, this group wasn't, this group was. And it's hard to
no,
kind of point
you have to
and
punish,
say, yeah, you've got to paint with a broad stroke.
Because
otherwise, yeah. You know, that if you say, well, this little group of people can go, well, then what if a few of them who didn't get caught get in with it and do it again and whatever else? Poland is still technically in the mix. As of course is the Ukraine. This is a pretty big game. England leads Group H with 16 points. Ukraine's in second, which is a playoff spot at 15. Then Montenegro has 15, and there's Poland with 13. So theoretically, Poland could beat the Ukraine, and the result plays out right with Montenegro for them. They could leap all the way up into second place. They can't probably, unless they score like, I think they need to win by about 20 goals to pass England on goal differential. So that's probably not going to happen. But you know, theoretically, they could push themselves up to second place with this game. The Ukraine could continue to put pressure on England, that they kind of lost their chance the last time to do it. But this is a big game, and now it's going to be an empty stadium. That'll affect both teams, and you'll be curious to see how it plays out. I don't imagine there's much television coverage here in the United States of the Ukraine versus Poland, but it may be out there somewhere. Check out ESPN3. You never know. You might see it.
All right, off to England.
Anything to declare?
Yeah.
Don't go to England.
Leyden Orient has determined that FIFA 14 is to blame for the team's recent slump. Since the game's release, the team has only managed to post ties after winning their first 8 matches. The club had installed a PlayStation 3 onto the team bus, and players spent most of their time playing the game. Now there is a no FIFA on match day ban in an attempt to get the players to refocus their attention on the real games.
Having been a pretty big video game player in my younger days.
Nerd.
Yeah, I fully admit I'm a nerd. That's no big deal. I can sort of speak to the black hole that your life can be sucked into through video games. I firmly remember when I was in much younger, early 20s, I worked nights at Kinko's before it eventually was bought by FedEx and became something else and the company went to hell. But I'd work like till midnight, I'd close the store, go home and like plug in whatever game I was playing. I don't know, Final Fantasy VII at the time or Final Fantasy X or, you know, Legend of Zelda or whatever it was. And I would play, I'd play for hours. Like I would sit there and start playing. And the next thing I know, it's like 7 or 8 in the morning and the sun's up and I've been playing nonstop the whole night. And I was just like, okay, so take a nap, come back, play some more. So I guess I can see that this might be a problem. You know, if you put the PlayStation on the bus and the guys aren't focusing, but I think maybe the problem may extend beyond just this. It seems like a pretty, like, grasping at straw scapegoat as to the reason behind Leyden Orient's struggles. Not that I'm real familiar with them, but.
Well, and they also didn't lose. They posted ties. It's not like it completely went down the crapper. They are still tying their games. And I don't know. I just think it's kind of funny. They had also said that they were playing as themselves and playing against the teams that they were set to face to, I guess, try and see how the match would go ahead of time.
Well, here's the best part about this is, granted, they are slumping, but they're still in first place in League One. So it's not like that they're this horrible team. They just haven't been. They got off to a kind of a good start and then slumped a little bit. So it's not like that big of a deal. And it's just, what, 2 ties? post ties to winning the first. Yeah, I mean,
yeah, well, it only sounded like there's a couple.
Yeah, they're 8-2.
The game hasn't been out that long.
Yeah, they're 8-2. It means they've tied two straight games. Let's see who they played, just out of curiosity. See a draw against Walsall and a draw against Oldham, which probably means nothing to most people listening. But if you're curious, Walsall is in 9th. Oldham is in 17th. Okay, so theoretically, if you're in first place, if you're trying to earn promotion, those are teams you should probably be beating.
You tried to give them an out, but it didn't really work, is what you're saying.
Yeah. You know what? I think, okay, you know, football is complicated. Football players are complicated. I suppose this doesn't make a big deal. And, you know, if they think it's going to help, it does. And they come back and win their next game, then I guess it'll prove that they were right and the coaches were onto it. Their next game, they actually tied their Johnston Paint Trophy game too against Coventry, and they have a game coming up against MK Dons. So we'll see if maybe they can turn it around without FIFA against 7th place MK Dons. More than you ever wanted to know about League One of English football, I'm sure.
Probably.
All right. Let's next headline.
Head off to Bulgaria. Some of the Levski Sofia fans were not happy about the new coach hired by the team and went so far as to strip him of his shirts during his unveiling. Apparently, the ultras believed that he is a fan of their rival CSKA Sofia, and a group of ultras interrupted his first press conference shouting at him and eventually de-shirting him of not one but two shirts, leaving him to walk out of the room shirtless. Today, he quit the team, stating that what happened yesterday is extremely ugly, and I would not like to work in such an environment.
You made a good point before we started that it sounds funny, but if you actually watch the video, it's a little scary.
And I obviously couldn't read it without laughing a little bit because it just sounds funny.
Well, it sounds absurd.
Watching the video, it's like he just sits there the entire time, and one of the guys eventually just comes over and like starts trying to take his shirt off, and he just kind of sits there like a rag doll.
Well, I guess the logic of it is, and I don't blame him, that if he's smart enough, in fact, he probably deserves credit for going ragdoll in the sense of,
yeah, he didn't say a word, he didn't do anything, which was really smart.
Right, because, you know, that's a volatile situation, and if you start fighting against that guy, God knows what that guy's going to do. But it gets kind of a sad example of there is a problem in some European countries, and Bulgaria is one of them, and there's been problems with similar kind of things in Italy and other Eastern European countries especially, where these ultra groups have gotten a ridiculous amount of power over the teams, like to the point where I think it's fair to say that you have players and coaches potentially running scared to a certain extent of these. I mean, when you hear stories of team of ultras, you know, threatening to assault teams or trapping them in the training grounds or doing stuff like this or demanding their shirts or not letting teams exit the tunnel at halftime or at the end of games. It's scary. I mean, and as Americans, if you're listening, we're not used to that. I mean, we see it and we realize it, but we can't kind of it's hard to wrap our brains around that because that would never happen at an NFL game. Like the worst thing that happens at our games is a bunch of drunken idiots fight in the stands or a guy gets nude and runs across the field. You know, the idea of fans doing, could you imagine if, I'm trying to just think, throw out a random name I could think of. First thing that comes to mind. Completely branded. Okay, let's say Jason Kreis is having his press conference. He just got hired. Let's say he moves on from Seattle and gets hired by somewhere else, and fans walk in. Let's say, God forbid, he went to Colorado or something, and the Rapids fans come in and take a shot. It would never happen. It's just inconceivable it would happen, yet it happens. And it's weird and it's funny to a certain extent, but it's also pretty frightening because, I mean, I'm thinking anybody else can imagine being at our job and having somebody come in and go, you're not fit to be here. And rip your shirt. I mean, not that anybody wants to rip my shirt off, but, you know, geez.
This is also the same group that had Happy Birthday Hitler signs.
Once again, not something to laugh at, but it's absurdly funny.
this extreme group of fans, it's just kind of hard to wrap your head around sometimes. Because it seems like they continually do insane things like this.
Yeah, and there seems like there's not repercussions, that the team is almost forced to go along with it to a certain extent. And it does show you the power these groups have gained. And it's a mentality that I don't think American soccer supporters will ever get to, hopefully. I doubt we'll ever, but it is a lesson in the sense of that supporters groups need to remember that while the things they do are important and the atmosphere they create is important and the TIFOs and everything else, all that's positive stuff, there is a point where you begin to believe potentially that you are as big or bigger than the team. And that's when this kind of stuff starts to grow and to happen. I mean, it's important to remember that in the end, you're supporting a sport. You're not bigger than the team. Like I said, I don't think American supporters groups are ever going to get to this, but you know, you do worry if you hear about supporters groups battling with the teams over issues. And it's like at some point, yeah, you want to be able to do your thing, but at the same time, it's a sporting event. You know, chill out a little bit. You know, don't go ripping coaches' shirts off. But, you know, I guess if it upsets you, so be it.
I also feel like in America, there's more repercussions as far as, like, with the police.
Yeah, and I feel like you would be in jail if you did this.
I feel like if you did anything like that, the same as with people that run on the field, I feel like you get into more trouble here than you do overseas. I don't know if that's true or if that's just my perception. But I feel like that
we know it's true to a certain extent, but it's hard to know because you never hear about the guys who were arrested on these stories. It just seems like they do it and walk away, but who knows? Maybe they were. But
I mean, at least no coverage comes out of it if people are arrested and end up in trouble and things like that for it.
Usually by the time it gets to us through the stories, like it's been filtered into websites to where it's just – they hit it for the story and there's never
much. It's not the important part.
It's hard to dig. Yeah. And it's hard to dig for follow up in Bulgarian sometimes. So, you know, you do your best, but theoretically, yeah. I would imagine that someone got punished for this, but you never know.
I wouldn't mind an English translation of that video because all you hear is shouting and I obviously don't know the language. So I think it'd be really interesting to hear what exactly they were screaming at him. So
I
don't want to know.
Yeah, maybe we don't want to know. I can only imagine what was yelling at him. I could see this happening to like in America and like some overzealous fans like trying to rip off like Ben Olsen's shirt, but having nothing to do with wanting to like not him be the coach of DC United. But I just threw Ben Olsen out there. That's the first one I thought of. I'm sure there's some other coaches in MLS that might qualify. I'll leave that to y'all. Caleb Porter, or whoever. I know some Houston fans like Dom. I don't know. Whatever. It's up to y'all. Anyways, headlines completed. No, see, I threw the Houston out there hoping you might comment, but you just stayed nice and quiet over there. Nice
I did. Nope. I'm just going to...
Not going to fall for the bait. All right, fine.
Nope, not taking the bait.
All right, fair enough. All right, we'll take a quick break. Enjoy some music from Keep Love. And as we continue to promote... I can't talk. So we continue to promote some of his music on the show. Remember, stay tuned after everything's wrapped up to find out where to find his music, and you can hear the whole song that we end up playing. So we'll be back after the break with some more stuff to talk about, including Aries Pants, Josie's Magic Nose, Buckingham Football, and others, and Ask Alicia, some more. So we'll be right back on Radio CG. It's a sure killer, it's power in the wrong hand. It's a sure killer, it's power in the wrong hand. It's a sure killer, it's power in the wrong hand. Fill your heart with the power. You gotta make decisions for the world. Real sick shit's getting wild. It's a sure killer that's power in the wrong hand, yeah, yeah. Fill your heart with the power. You gotta make decisions for the world. Or else this shit's getting wild. Oh my. Back on Radio Suju, we're through the headlines, but we have more to talk about. And we'll start with Ari Radnapp's pants. But don't worry.
Where else would you want to start?
Exactly. Who wouldn't want to talk about Ari Radnapp's pants? Don't worry. It's not as bad as you might think. There was an excerpt from Ari Radnapp's new autobiography. Apparently, the story came out that he kept 30,000 pounds of Paul Merson's money hidden down his trouser legs for an entire duration of Portsmouth game against Millwall back in March 2003. Here's the story. One day at Millwall, Merson came to the dressing room with a big brown bag of Reddies. And he said, "Would you look after this for me, Gaffer?" he asked. "It's 30 grand. It's for a bookmaker, an Irish mob. They're after me, and I've got to meet them after the game. Will you look after it for me until then? I couldn't leave in the changing room, but I almost always wear a suit on the touchline. That day I changed. I put a tracksuit on so there would be more room to conceal the Reddies. I was okay until I sprung out on my seat in the touchline. As I did, I felt something move. I was trying to get a message to the player, and I could feel Merson's 30 grand making its way south down my trouser legs. I looked down, and the notes were coming out the bottom of my trousers."
What a problem to have.
I would be – okay, there's so many levels of this that would cause me concern. First of all, is a player coming to you before the game wanting you to stash $30,000 in betting money that he owes to the Irish mob? That's concerning. I'd be a little worried about what he's getting up to. But maybe not.
I feel like that's only would that happen to Harry Redknapp, I feel like. It's probably not true, but I feel like...
Yeah, there's always a chance it's a complete lie, but...
That's true. But I feel like he's one of the few coaches that you could be like, "Hey, will you hold on to my 30 grand for me?"
Apparently.
And he'd be like, "Sure, I'll just stick it down my pants during the game."
Yeah. No, does he have an office he could lock it in? I don't know. I mean, it was an away game, but...
Would you want your money back knowing that it's been down his pants?
Okay, I'm just trying to imagine. Okay, think about it. I've never had $30,000 in cash on me at any point. I don't think that's about what I make in a year on a good year, I think. So it's like I don't, you know, have a stack of cash. But I've seen a stack of a few hundred dollars, maybe $1,000. And that's heavy. And even if you're in like big bills, like hundreds.
That's why I went south.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of money. It's just stuff in your pants. I mean, I don't know. I don't know how it's even possible. That's why it kind of makes me wonder, is he fibbing? Is he making the money bigger than it really was? I don't know, but it's nonetheless amusing that he would do that. And somehow, like you said, not at all surprising that Harry Redknapp would do something like this. He just seems like the kind of guy that would do this. Like, Sir Alex Ferguson would not stick $30,000 for somebody's money down his pants for you.
Yeah, but who would ask? Would you even ask?
That's true.
Alex Ferguson, no. But you would ask Harry Redknapp.
What MLS coach do you think you could ask this of and that they would be okay with it?
I feel like you could ask Dominic Kinnear. I feel like he would do it.
Yeah, but he wears like really like, you know, stylish cut slacks in games usually.
Which, yeah, but he rocks the polo. So, I mean, if you were in a pinch, I feel like he would throw on a tracksuit for you.
I don't think Kreese would do it. I know Bruce Arena wouldn't do it, though. Bruce Arena could get away with it because you know who could do it and you wouldn't notice? It is cold weather game with Siggy. With that big jacket, like, you would know the difference between Siggy and extra money at that point. Not that I think Siggy would do it, but I think he'd be the best equipped of MLS coaches to deal with this issue.
This is true.
Could even like jam some in that scarf he's always got wrapped around his neck. Just kind of shove it in there a bit. I don't know, but enough.
That's
about...
The hard thing is in Houston, it might get a little too hot.
Yeah, it might be a little warm.
Be padded.
It might be a little warm. All right, enough about that, Harry's pants, because well, no one wants to hear about that. Remember we talked about before they were going to have a football match at Buckingham Palace, right? We had that story a while ago on the show. It's for the 150th anniversary of the FA. The Duke invited the Civil Service Football Club and Polytechnic Football Club to compete on the grounds. And they did. Okay, so there were pictures on the BBC America site of this game. And you got the nice field, very green. Howard Webb serving as apparently your referee. Prince William having a kick around with the teams. And then Butler serving orange slices on silver trays. I fully support this. I think it's fantastic.
Absolutely. What more could you want? I just want to know if they had juice boxes.
It looks like they had cups. If there had been juice boxes on the silver trays, I would have lost my mind. I would not have been able to record the show tonight because I'd have been just giggling profusely. But
you couldn't have topped that. But this is still pretty amazing.
Okay, not only does football need more visible orange slices on the field, because that's great, it needs butlers in like full out coattails. Like, not like, you know, just an American suit. We're talking like traditional, like long tail coats.
the way butlers are supposed to be dressed.
Exactly. There should be butlers at every EPL game serving orange slices. How cool would that be? And they could vest and ties to match up the home team colors or something.
There should be butlers everywhere, always serving orange slices. Yeah. Anytime you're anywhere.
You should dress up the hawkers at games who walk up and down selling stuff. At least I don't know if they had that overseas, but they have it here. God, it annoys the shit out of me. Peanuts, get your peanuts. Oh, there's not. But they should be butlers with silver trays, preferably selling orange slices. But you could also sell cotton candy and peanuts and everything else. That would be so great.
Gotta have the orange slices.
But apparently the game went well. Everybody had a good time. A little bit of history. And maybe, just maybe, the first football match ever with orange slices served on silver trays, which is awesome.
I feel like it's got to be.
If it's not, it's the first time in a long time. Like the first time in recorded history where we had good photography covering the situation. I think that's a fair statement, at least. Maybe I'm wrong. But well done, Buckingham Palace. It all went off well. Guess nobody messed up the grass or got anybody upset. So that's good. And more importantly, they honored volunteers who helped make the game possible in the sense of the game at the national level and honored people and hooray. And maybe I'm sure they'd probably, got some money for charity and other things too. At least we hope so. So, and nobody kicked a window out or anything, which is good.
No, there were no broken things that we know of.
Well, they smartly had the field turned to where it wasn't like the building wasn't behind a goal. That might have been risky. But
yeah, the pictures looked pretty awesome, though. They looked pretty epic with the palace in the background.
Yeah, it had to be a little intimidating. It did look pretty awesome. I would almost be a little intimidated playing that just because of not only the fact that you're playing on the grounds of Buckingham Palace, but you've got, the monarchs there, and I'm sure Queen Elizabeth will float. She might have been looking out a window or something. I don't know if she was there or not. But then orange slices on silver trays.
I'm sure she came out for the orange slices. If nothing else, she was
That's
just like,
the picture we want.
Is it orange slice time?
Can you imagine if we had a picture of a butler with a silver tray holding and offering an orange slice to Queen Elizabeth II? That would be fantastic.
Would that just make your life? Would that just make it all worth it?
I would pretty much probably just walk off into the sunset at that point. I mean, what more could you possibly need to see? That's like the peak of civilization. That's a ridiculous statement. Jose's magic knows. After going up 1-0 in the fourth minute against Norwich on Sunday, Chelsea kind of labored so for the next 80 minutes and conceded an equalizer. Then saw Demba Ba completely whiff on an open goal. But late, 85th, 86th minute, they got two goals and they won. But apparently Mourinho was not even remotely worried and had told reporters that he could smell exactly what was on the cards. During the game, I am not nervous. I have feelings. I smell things. And when that easy open goal was missed by Demba Ba, I had smelled that they would score a goal. So apparently, Jose's nose can smell goals. I mean, he is the special one. He's pretty amazing. But I did not know that his olfactory abilities could sense the arrival of goals. I mean, he's a newly evolved human being. Or he's Jose being full of shit. Which one do you think?
I don't know, because it's actually, I'm not going to say it's like completely possible that he can smell goals, but they do say that there are people that have extremely strong senses, and one of them is your sense of smell, and that you can smell things before they happen, or smell, like, I don't know, you can smell on a whole nother level.
I would like to note that we both realize this is probably a figure of speech, but we don't care. We're having fun. I wonder what goals smell like.
No, it's not. This is literal.
I wonder what goals smell like. They smell like orange slices on silver trays?
Like grass and sweat and winter.
Yeah, like victory.
Like victory in the air.
Well, if Jose is able to smell goals coming, then obviously Jose is some kind of like inhuman or metahuman or superhero, at which point what's he holding? He's holding back. I mean, he should be like wearing a cape and flying around saving people if he's this awesome. Because if a guy can smell goals, then clearly he's like should be able to fly or shoot laser beams out of his eyes or something else really cool. I mean,
he's just related to the psychic octopus that was alive back during the World Cup.
Paul was psychic octopus.
The predicted winners. Maybe they're distant cousins or something.
Yeah, he's strangely related to Paul the Octopus, Miss Cleo, and the telepsychic.
Makes sense.
You ever been to a psychic? I never have been.
a psychic. I don't.
Or a palm read or anything. You ever gotten
I've had my
places?
Palm. I've had my palm read. So, I don't know.
I mean, I think it's all bunk, but I guess if, you know, it helps you. It just kind of creeps me out when those people like get reality shows and they're like telling people that. I mean, I think there's been a couple stories where people have told like gone to psychics to try to find a long lost loved one. And they're told one thing and then they find out later it was totally not the case and they get mad at the psychic for lying to them or whatever. But
I don't know. I've never watched the shows. I do remember the Miss Cleo commercials when I was little.
I do too. But commercials were a lot cooler when we were little.
It saddens me that there's like a generation of kids that don't really know who Miss Cleo is.
Yeah, and it saddens me there's a generation of kids that don't watch shitty commercials. I mean, if you watch a lot of soccer, you watch a lot of shitty commercials. Remember when Fox Soccer used to have just the worst commercials? It was like the same two or three over and over again.
How is that different from now? Or was?
Well, they got a little better toward the end as Fox started caring and they got a little bit more. But like BN now has all the bad commercials. Like
Proactive.
They have Proactive and like the really, really awful, like, racist phone card ads and all sorts of other awful.
The racist phone card ads.
Have you seen those ones where they have, like, the Indian guy? And it's just totally, like, a stereotype of what everyone in America thinks an Indian person sounds like. It's just horrible. It's like a Simpsons character, except it's a real person acting that way. I don't mean, it's no self-respecting person. But I guess if you're getting paid enough, you'll pretty much do anything at that point. Everyone has a price.
Whatever brings in a paycheck. And
yeah, you know, you got to feed the kids and
you don't have to take your shirt off. Even better, right?
Yeah. And especially if ultras don't storm in and take your shirt off for you, it's even better.
You never know when the ultras might show up.
They're everywhere. They're all around me. They're like bees.
They're like bees.
And finally, before we go to this week in football history, a quick Ask Alicia segment. Everyone probably knows how I feel about the U.S. national team and Clinton Dempsey not going, saying he was injured. And then now he's apparently available. I don't know if he's playing tonight, but available. Everything I've kind of read and heard is that Siggy and Jurgen were on the same page on this, but there were some U.S. fans that were overreacting, shocking. But my opinion is totally off kilter and biased about this. I figured Alicia might be able to offer some perspective as a U.S. fan as to how she felt about Clinton Dempsey shirking his captaincy to stay with his club team during this tight MLS playoff run.
Well, Tim Howard's going to be captain, which is pretty cool. So,
although he's not the best goalkeeper on the team.
Shut up, Zach. As far as Dempsey skipping out, I kind of have conflicting opinions on it, which I guess is a little bit of a cop-out. But as an MLS fan, I understand the push for the playoffs and staying and helping your team out. As a national team fan, I think it sucks he's not going to be there, but we've also already qualified, so it's not like a do-or-die game. I think using an injury as a reason to not go is kind of weak sauce. I think you should just be like, no, I'm not going to go. I'm going to stay and help my team.
Yeah, I mean, and there's always been that sort of cloak and dagger nature to these situations. And this is not the first time that a player has been injured before international duty to stay with his team. And it's common. And a lot of times it's worked out behind the scenes. Dempsey, look, is not going to do anything to openly, throw it in the face of Jurgen Klinsmann. Dempsey wants to play for the United States. He wants to be in Brazil at the World Cup. So he's not doing this to give Klinsmann the finger or something.
Well, no, but I think if both of them came out and said, hey, we're not going to call him up this cycle or whatever, he's going to stay and help Seattle. Or you don't even have to go so far as to say he's going to stay and help Seattle because we all know that's what he's doing.
Right.
But just be like, we're not going to call him up, then fine. Yeah, don't say, oh, he's injured, so he can't come in. And, oh, can I get you a bag of ice for that? Like, just don't.
And it makes you wonder how bad is Omar Gonzalez's hip really? You know, those kind of things. And, you know, whatever. It's okay. I mean, I don't care. And I get both sides. I get the clubs wanting to keep him. And I get Klinsmann saying, I want to have my best team available. I want to keep them playing together. I want to reward the fans that bought tickets to come to these games. And I want to make sure that you're giving a fairness out, to a fair respect to your opponents. Because if you go out there and just field a horrible team, you could theoretically alter results. Now, granted, those results potentially hurt Mexico, so that's not necessarily a bad thing. But, you know, that's just kind of the way it goes.
Hurting Mexico is always something important to play for. I think, too, if I was actually going to Kansas City, I'd be a little more upset by the injuries that players aren't coming in because of. But since I'm not, I don't care quite as much. And since we've already qualified, I don't care quite as much.
Right.
If we hadn't qualified, then I'd have a problem with it. But I don't think it's necessarily on Dempsey. I think it's on MLS for not taking international breaks. I think it's ridiculous that they have this stretch of trying to qualify for playoffs during this international.
Right. And that has to be fixed.
That's ridiculous.
It's an issue that needs to be dealt with. And the league has talked about dealing with it. And we've mentioned it of reducing the schedule and trying to clear the load to be able to take time off for these breaks. And you know what? It's important because we all know that just playing the traditional winter schedule doesn't make sense for the United States. I mean, we've seen – look at that Colorado game, the U.S. game in Denver. You can't play games consistently in the winter in certain places. It snows in New York. It snows in Colorado. It can get pretty crazy in Seattle during the winter. Toronto is open air. Stadium. I can only imagine trying to play a game in December in Toronto. I mean, look at the MLS Cup final that was there. It was pretty crazy. It wasn't snowing, but it was cold. So look.
Aw, not cold weather. That's just terrible.
Cold weather's one thing, but where it's like affecting the game, you don't want that. But the counterbalance is that if you're gonna play the opposite schedule, you've got to do your best to honor the international schedule. And that's even more so as you start bringing in guys that are consistently going to be playing for the national team. Because you don't want to hurt the national team and you don't want to hurt your clubs. You've got to strike a balance. And to do that, you've got to make room for these games, especially during World Cup qualifying. International, if you got guys skipping out for friendlies, that's different. But for qualifiers, you shouldn't have to ever put a player in a position where he has to choose. I mean, that's not fair.
But I don't feel like there's so many qualifying games that you couldn't work the schedule around it.
It feels like you could work it. Remember all the buys there were by teams and off weeks? Play games those off weeks.
The Dynamo, after tonight, Dynamo don't have another game until like the 20th or something, I don't think.
Yeah, and part of Seattle's backlog of their schedule has to do with the fact that the early part of their schedule was lightened for some other reasons. I forgot what they were involved in. Were they in Champions League? Something was going on. Anyways.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Something was going on where early in the season, so they backloaded their schedule to give them more time there. And that's fine. That's good too. But you've got to figure out a balance. And, you know, people don't like the idea of less games, but that's what the best option is at this point. Then that's what you got to do because you're hurting the integrity of the overall of your games and your league. When you're in the chase for playoff, everything is so tight. Almost no one has clinched a playoff spot. The supporter shield is still wide open and you're asking LA and Seattle and, Salt Lake and whoever else, RSL's lost players and to give up some, Colorado's lost players, to give up your best players, and Houston has players gone. It's not fair. It's ridiculous. You can't ask these teams to go out and play meaningful, important games with their biggest weapons gone, with Boniet Garcia gone, with Eddie Johnson gone, with Brad Evans gone, with Torres and, another guy, younger kid for Colorado who was excellent against the Sounders this weekend. It's not fair. It's ridiculous. It needs to be fixed. And everybody knows it. And I think MLS knows it. But they need to do something about it because otherwise we just sit here and talk about it and throw stones at them because I like throwing stones at MLS. It's fun.
It is fun.
It is fun. They make themselves a target.
They do it to themselves. They really do.
I'm sympathetic to a certain extent, but a lot we talked about – I say a lot. We have talked about before of just, you know, this is a league that puts its foot in its mouth a lot. And, you know –
Well, they just keep doing the same stupid things over and over.
Yeah.
And they claim to change. They're going to change, but they never do. So that's part of why we keep talking about it, because they keep saying they're going to do something and they never do.
Right. So they need to do something. They need to fix this. They need to stop.
Fix it before next year.
They need to stop awarding franchises to teams that don't exist and don't have stadiums to play in. That would be good, too. Cheap shot. Finally on the show this week. This week in football history, and we go back all the way to October 9th, 1996, back when I was 16 years old, and I'd just gotten my driver's license, and I was about a month away from having my only real bad car wreck in my life, which sucked.
I was 9.
I'm old. On that faithful October day, a World Cup qualifier kicked off with only one team on the pitch when the other refused to show up. Scotland had traveled to Tallinn for a game against Estonia that was really scheduled for a 6:45 local time start. Estonia had rented temporary truck-mounted floodlights for the game, but Scotland manager Craig Brown believed that they were too low and failed to fully illuminate the pitch. A FIFA official inspected the situation the day before and decided that the game should go on. So Brown took his complaints to FIFA, who later agreed that that night to reschedule the match for 3 p.m. for Scotland, and Scotland duly arrived on time. But they were the only ones there. Estonia refused to show up and refused to acknowledge the time change, claiming that the players could not be available on short notice. Believing their host had forfeited, Scotland kicked off with their supporters saying there's only one team in Tallinn, or Tallinn, however you say it, and the referee blew the final whistle after 3 seconds for a forfeit. Just under a month later, because we all know how quickly FIFA moves, FIFA decided to move the match against Scotland's wishes to a rescheduled date rather than letting it go down as a forfeit. And so the teams met in Monaco in 1997, February 7th, and they played to a scoreless draw. Now, despite the loss of 2 points, you ask, Scotland still managed to qualify for the World Cup 1998, I believe the last time they did, and Estonia did. Estonia did not make the World Cup. So there you go. That time a World Cup qualifier got played with one team, and it lasted 3 seconds. Yes. Remember, you can find the show online, RadioSuju.com, our website, on Twitter, on Facebook, on Google, plus pretty much everywhere. Just search Radio Suju. We, of course, have the rant line, 713-364-4643. Email us, show at RadioSuju.com. Get a hold of us. Say hi. Ask questions. Do whatever you want, and we will usually acknowledge you, potentially. Just kidding. We'll acknowledge you. Just a reminder again, as I said at the beginning, the next few weeks are going to be a little sketchy. If we're gone for some reason, it's just because I had something coming up with wedding planning that I didn't foresee.
It's just because Zach is a tool.
And because I'm a tool.
That's all
you
need to know. You
know, like I said, we're going to miss the last week of October, first week of November. I'll be gone. A little sketchy, but we'll be around. Don't panic. The show must go on for now, so we will survive. But thanks to you, everyone, for listening. Thanks for your precious time. And I'm sure some of you are thrilled that we're back. I'm sorry that Aaron and Travis weren't here to be funny, as they were extremely funny. Got a lot of good feedback. I'll try to have them back soon because that was really enjoyable. But until then, any final thoughts or words of wisdom for our loyal audience, Alicia?
I don't think so.
All right. Well, hopefully your dog continues to heal and starts making it through the night and letting you sleep, and thus you stop getting sick.
It would be nice to sleep without him screaming in the middle of the night.
Yes,
it's not fun.
Poor dog. He's healing. He's getting better, but it's a tough process for him, apparently. So, but he's okay. She's not being mean to them. He's just healing. That's why.
Yep.
She loves her dog. Don't worry. Don't leave you people go crazy. All right. Until next time, for Alicia, I'm Zach. Thanks for listening to Radio Suju. Remember, stay after this little bit of music and find out where you can find more music from Keep Love, where you can download his stuff. Thanks again to him for offering up his music for the show. We appreciate it. So until we are back again, enjoy your football, everybody, and we'll be back. Remember, be well, SB Nation. Be well, listeners. Music for the show break was provided by the artist Keep Love. Find information about the artist, including how to download his music, tour dates, and more on his Facebook page at facebook.com/keeplovemusic. You can also find him on Twitter at Keep Love Detroit. If you'd like to feature your work or your band's work here on the show, just email us at show@radiosuju.com. We'd love to help spread the word. It's a show killer that's power in the wrong hand. It's a show killer that's power in the wrong hand. It's a show killer that's power in the wrong hand. Familiar are with the power. You gotta make decisions for the world, or else this shit's getting wild. Oh. Sure, killer, that's power in the wrong hand. Yeah, yeah. Familiar are with the power.
It's a sure